Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity coming into your family circle again with a home Bible study series. Now, those of you that have been listening the last 2 weeks know that we began with the Tree of Life in our first lesson and talked about its beginning in the Garden of Eden and how eventually man will have contact with that Tree of Life in heaven. Revelation 22:14 is one of the key future passages that you want to consider, where John records, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Blessed are they to do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." And then we showed the evidence of law, recognizing that man was under a law in the Garden of Eden before he committed sin, that he should not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the day that he did, he would surely die. So man ate of that forbidden fruit, he was driven out of the garden, death became a reality, and Hebrews 9:27 is a daily reminder of man's violation. It is appointed once for man to die, and after that the judgment. Then we especially pointed out on the broadcast last time about the importance of that law under the law of Moses. And we went to Exodus chapter 31, and then finally the law of faith in Romans 3:27. You see, we have a perfect law of liberty today under which we are living as Christians. One obeys from his heart that form of doctrine to be made free from sin to become a servant of righteousness. It's interesting to note that Christ, before he went to heaven, spoke about that law of faith when he simply said to the apostles, "I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The marvelous grace of God on this side of the cross brought that wonderful law of faith, that perfect law of liberty, down from heaven on the first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven. And then it was, of course, important that we consider what really took place in the life of man. I'm interested again in the teaching that's found in Romans 3:23. Where it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Today on the broadcast, in lesson number 3 in this home Bible study series, we simply want to think about the power of darkness, and we want to think about the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13 gives us a very vivid picture of this, and I want to go back here in the first chapter of Colossians and read a few verses in your hearing. So if you're following us, be sure and note what it says in Colossians 1, beginning with verse 12. Let's begin there. Paul says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet of the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Now listen to the 13th verse. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," that's sin, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That's really the kingdom of light. Then notice this. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And then this famous 18th verse, "And he," referring to Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now back in the 13th verse, it mentions about this transition here, a deliverance from the power of darkness and a translation into that kingdom. The kingdom must be looked upon in a very wonderful parallel with the church, the Lord's church. A sequence that's vital at this time is in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. There we find Jesus simply saying, "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's the fact that he's the Son of God and that he's Christ. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So back in the first chapter of Colossians, when he talks about the deliverance from sin and that translating into the kingdom of his dear Son, He's talking about people also being added by the Lord after their conversion to the church. And that's why in verse 18, he speaks of Christ as the head of the church, the head of the body, which is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So what are we saying on the broadcast today? We're saying that since all men sin and come short of the glory of God, this transition is vital in their life. Now let's bring it down to a common denominator in your life today. Perhaps as we talk to you on the broadcast today, it would be again like being in your home and sitting down and talking about God's Word. We have the opportunity of not alone talking to Christians, but talking to those who have never been born again. And it's always interesting to me to find the questions that are asked many, many times by people who have never been born again. I can picture a lady or a man looking at the copy of their Bible now and seeing that in Colossians 1 and 13, that the Bible promises a deliverance from sin and an entrance into that kingdom. Christ being the King of the kingdom, Christ being the head of the church. And then there are a lot of questions. Well, how does this come about? You see, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was vital for this whole thing to become a reality. But as we've told you and broadcast in times past on different series, that no individual can obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so this has been actually placed in what we know the good news of Jesus' coming, his death upon the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and even his, we might say, ascension to heaven, where he did become the head of the church and the King of the kingdom. And then the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is that glad tidings, is something that can be obeyed. So notice the point. You can't obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Those are events, they're statements of truth of things that happened. But the gospel, according to Romans 6 and 17, is a form of doctrine that can be obeyed from your heart. Well, someone says, how in the world do I obey it? Well, all you have to do, and I wish we had time on the broadcast today, to simply go to the book of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, and note how people were delivered from the power of darkness and how they were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. One of the best examples of this is the very first account of conversion that's found in Acts 2. I want you to notice how these people were delivered from the power of darkness. I want you to note how they became a part of the kingdom or the church. Namely, these people, many of them were murderers of the Son of God. They had said before Pilate, certainly either with their own mouth or in agreement with their leaders who voiced it, let this man's blood be upon our head. Crucify him. Away with him. If you don't crucify this man, you're not Caesar's friend. So in a way, you see, they actually were guilty of his crucifixion, his death. And Peter preached a sermon there telling them how they could come from sin. He said, the same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. And that meant that when Christ went back to heaven, that God anointed him or crowned him as a King of kings and Lord of lords. You read this in the second chapter of Acts. They're ready for this transition. They were under conviction. Maybe you are today as you listen. They said, men and brethren, what must we do? They realized they had killed the Messiah. You may realize today that you're a sinner. You may say, what can I do? Now listen to what the inspired Word of God says in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:41 simply says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see, these people really had heard the Word of God. They must have believed it. They were told to repent, which they certainly did. They must have announced in their mouth what they believed in their heart, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they were baptized into Christ. Now, when you put all these conversion accounts together, you'll find 5 points of hearing, belief, repentance, confession of faith, and baptism being a part of those conversions. Now, you see, when they did this, They were actually delivered by God, who forgave their sins. They were delivered from the power of darkness, and they were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So there isn't any reason for you to remain in sin. You see, we're not asking you to join any human arrangement. We're not asking for your money. We're not asking anything other than the most important thing that you have in the world, and that's the salvation of your soul. And when I say we're asking for it, we're simply offering this as pronouncers of God's word that you might have every sin forgiven. That sin will be so completely forgiven. Paul referred to the very thing, not alone here in Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, but he put it this way in Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So listen, dear friend, you don't have to remain in sin any longer. You can obey that gospel today. You say, how is that possible? Well, simply, we encourage you to contact the brethren, the very ones that bring you this broadcast. And I'm sure that they will immerse you into Christ Jesus upon your announcement that you believe that Christ is the Son of God. The Lord will forgive your sins. Man won't do it. The Lord will add you to his church, not to man's church, but to the Lord's church. You'll become a part of that powerful and wonderful kingdom. We hope you do this. If we can help you, let us know. And certainly be back with us next time as we continue on with what I hope and that you indeed consider to be a very interesting home Bible study series. May God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and wonderful truth.